You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 24th of June 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we're going to continue today with the discussion that we were having yesterday about the White Lives Matter banner. The person responsible, the brave, courageous lad responsible, has been identified. He is completely unapologetic, and his reasoning for doing it is exactly what I suggested yesterday, something that all the talking heads on the BBC and all the Black Lives Matter people just couldn't work out for themselves, why somebody would think that actually white lives matter too. A Burnley fan has claimed responsibility for arranging a White Lives Matter banner to be flown over the Etihad Stadium on Monday evening. The plane flew overhead just moments after Manchester City and Burnley's players had kneeled down in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. And of course, by kneeling down, they are showing a universal symbol of subordination and submission. It doesn't matter what culture you are from. That symbolizes subordination and submission, no matter what Black Lives Matter are telling the politicians it means. That's what it means at a very, very basic instinctual level. Jake Heppel of Colne, Lancashire, shared a video of the plane flying over the Etihad Stadium on his Facebook page and posted a message in which he refused to apologise for the stunt. Mr. Heppel wrote, "I'd like to take this time to apologise to absolutely effing nobody. It is now apparently racist to say White Lives Matter the day after three white people got murdered in a park in Reading, but all we've seen on the TV is Black Lives Matter after George Floyd got murdered. What a mad world we live in." Nothing racist about that at all. That is just about equality, which is what all the talking heads keep going on about. And yet there is no equality if they're going to complain when somebody says White Lives Matter. It's not just that three white people were murdered in the park. It looks like there were another 9 people that were actually stabbed. There were 12 people that were stabbed in that park that day. And I suspect they are all white, and that's why we're not being told about the other ones. Well, the police have got involved in this. Yes, that's right. The police have got involved because it's such a shocking statement to say, isn't it? White lives matter. Police investigating a Burnley football fan who chartered a plane and flew a White Lives Matter banner above the Etihad Stadium say no crime was committed. Great stuff. That is really good. That shows that the police are looking at the law and they haven't been swayed politically in this or by pressure from the media. Chief Superintendent Russ Proctor said, "Today, Lancashire Constabulary has been in liaison with Greater Manchester Police, the Aviation Authority and the Crown Prosecution Service regarding the White Lives Matter banner that was flown over the Etihad Stadium last night." So they've literally gone everywhere they can to try and find out if there was anything criminal about this, about just saying something completely innocent, White Lives Matter. "After assessing all the information available surrounding this incident, we have concluded that there are no criminal offences that have been disclosed at this time. We will continue to work with our partners at the football club and within the local authority." But it doesn't stop there, of course. The Mail are delighted to tell us that Mr. Heppel's employer, Paradigm Precision in Burnley, said today, "We are aware of the incident that took place and are currently investigating the conduct of our employee. Once we have completed our inquiries, we will release a full statement. And of course, they are hoping that he will get the sack, basically. They're hoping they're going to be able to find something in his record that they will be able to sack him for, because that's what the left like to do. They like to take away a person's means of earning a living for himself and his family, and they like to tie him with names like racist and far right and try and prevent you from ever getting a job again. One of their favourite things to do is to get your PayPal removed from you so that you can't actually engage in business transactions, something which is really a fundamental human right, to be able to engage in transactions with people. They will do anything to try and silence us. And yet, when you look at what we're saying, it is just completely innocent. It's not hateful, not hateful at all. It is platonic love for our own people, for our own extended family. And this lad is a civic nationalist. He's not an ethno-nationalist, but obviously he understands what's going on. He can see that white lives are taking a back seat at the moment, and we've been told that we should be doing everything we can for black people, and nobody is speaking up about whites. And even when you just say that white lives matter, that gets condemned. Even when you say it's okay to be white, that gets condemned. And that's not even people saying, well, we should be living separately, or it's not making any value judgment at all, other than saying, well, life is worth something, surely. And by saying that white lives don't matter, you know, they're saying animal life is worth more, insects is worth more. Would anybody complain if someone was to say, I don't know, blue bottles' lives matter? I think people would just laugh at that. And yet it somehow creates this great scandal that somebody thinks that white lives matter. Earlier today, sources close to the police investigation told The Telegraph that those involved could be quizzed over a racially aggravated public order offence related to the message, rather than the flight itself. However, Lancashire police have now said no criminal offence has been disclosed at this time. Well, let's just have a look at what the police will have been investigating there. They would have looked at the Public Order Act of 1986, and that says a person is guilty of an offence if they use threatening or abusive words or behaviour, or disorderly behaviour, or display any writing, sign, or other visible representation which is threatening or abusive. How can you say it's threatening to say that white lives matter, or abusive? If you were to say that was threatening or abusive, then to say black lives matter must be threatening or abusive. And you could associate those words, Black Lives Matter, with rioting, with looting, with a campaign to abolish the police, a campaign to take money from the police and to just give it to black people, basically, a shakedown. Now, I would suggest that is threatening. To say that white lives matter, that's not threatening. I don't understand how the police can go after people that put up stickers that say it's okay to be white, because that's not abusive or threatening either. But the logic they use is they try to say, oh, well, it is linked with people that are threatening, but the people that put it up may not have had any link to anybody that is threatening. They may just simply think it's okay to be white. And all the time we are being told we should be feeling guilt about things that our ancestors did, which I would suggest actually a lot of the things our ancestors did had some incredibly positive effects for non-whites. But even if they did do things that were negative, that's not our responsibility today, 200 years later. When you look around white countries today, they are all bending over backwards to try to do everything that we can to help raise non-whites and blacks up to the standards that they want to be at. That's what this is about. They want these standards. They want the trinkets and the baubles that come with being wealthy, I guess. That's what they want. And we're trying to do everything we can. But essentially, it comes down to working for these things, and it comes down to having the aptitude to do that work. And in a lot of cases, you've got people with a low average IQ, and they're just not up to they're just not up to the standards. So we end up with these diversity hires, and you end up with lower standards in all the industries, basically. And we end up with a high crime rate. These are all the sort of problems that are coming to the surface because of diversity, and it all gets blamed on racism, which effectively just means it all gets blamed on white people. So obviously people are thinking, well, this is wrong. It's got to be okay to be white. And that's the origins of the okay to be white stickers. Well, I've gone a little bit off topic here. Let's get back to the news article here. The message from the police came as Blackpool Airport, which was used by the plane, announced that it had suspended all banner towing operations with immediate effect and said it did not condone the message. I mean, you could understand something like this happening if there was an offensive message, if there was offensive language on it. I mean, that's the sort of thing you could say, well, we don't want to see that up in the sky. Everybody shouldn't have to see that. But something innocent like this, the fact they're going to the airport, the Crown Prosecution Service, they've gone everywhere trying to find some way to prosecute the people involved in this. Richard Moriarty, chief executive of the UK Civil Aviation Authority, said, "I condemn the actions of those responsible for the banner flown over the Etihad Stadium yesterday evening. We will always support the police and other relevant authorities to investigate any reports of inappropriate or illegal activities, providing whatever assistance we can." Blackpool Airport said, "Following an emergency review this morning, Blackpool Airport will suspend all banner towing operations at the airport with immediate effect, and we would suggest that other airports should also consider this approach in light of what has happened at Blackpool." So they're talking about banning all towing of banners from airplanes all the way across the country because somebody dared to say White Lives Matter. The day after, three white lives were taken in a horrific stabbing in a park, and another nine were injured. You know, you can't forget that, the context of this. This wasn't done in some way of having a dig at Black Lives Matter. It was purely positive. It was purely pro-white. It wasn't anti-black in any way, shape or form. The company that operated the plane, Air Ads, is based in Stockport and flies from Blackpool Airport. However, it emerged this afternoon that the airport had suspended flights operated by the company, pending an investigation. So the company that makes its money from doing this is now going to suffer from towing an entirely legal and non-offensive banner. But simply because it wasn't being negative about white people, because remember, we can be as negative as we like about white people. It's only if you say anything positive about them that you're going to get into trouble. The pilot, who did not wish to be named, told Sky News that the banners are made to order and the flights cost around £700, with pilots taking around £100 per flight. I mean, that's a reasonable price, isn't it, when you think about it, how many people are going to see it. I mean, this was a real wizard wheeze of the guy that did this. I really do have to take my hat off to him. This was a really great stunt that he managed to achieve here. He added, "We would assume whoever paid for the banner would get done for it." Again, yes, you know, you would expect if there was anything untoward here that it was the person that paid for the banner whose idea it was, rather than the people taking the flights. I mean, the industry shouldn't be penalised for this. People shouldn't lose their jobs and not be able to fly it for aeroplanes with banners simply because some people took offence at people not hating whites. I mean, it's just incredible. It's such an unoffensive thing to say, and yet they've got so excited about it. And just to continue on from the other news story that we were talking about yesterday, and this really correlates with this because the police are wasting their time investigating people saying White Lives Matter and investigating stickers and flyers saying it's okay to be white. And they're also wasting their time or not directing their resources in the right direction in as far as terrorism investigations go. As we were talking about yesterday, and this continues from that as well, a terror suspect watch list has doubled in size from last year, but expert estimates and new figures suggest far-right extremists are just a tiny part of the problem. But Britain's top anti-terror officer, Neil Bourassou, has repeatedly said that right-wing extremism poses the fastest growing terror threat to the UK. And as I pointed out yesterday, they had a documentary on the BBC all about supposed right-wing terrorism on the Monday night, just after this jihadi attack in the park. And Neil Bourassou, the only time you see him on the television is when he's talking about this massive threat that we're facing from right-wing extremism. And of course, because he does that, he gets extra funds to deal with this right-wing terrorism. And in actual fact, it's not as much of a threat as he's making out. As it says here, far-right extremists are just a tiny part of the problem. While MI5's watch list has doubled to 43,000 this year, experts say 9/10 of these are jihadis. 90% of MI5's watch list of potential terrorists are jihadis, and yet the top anti-terror officer is continually saying that right-wing extremism poses the fastest growing terror threat. Now, I would suggest that, you know, he is not competent at his job, is he? He is obviously allowing a political bias into this because he's deliberately not telling the truth when he gives these public appearances. He's in actual fact, he's saying the opposite of the truth. He's saying the biggest threat is far-right extremists, and yet they only make up 1/10 of all the people that are being watched. New separate statistics from the Home Office on terrorists in custody also show that of 238 people held for terrorism in Great Britain, 183 were Islamic extremists, while just 44 were far-right. It is an increase of just 11 people from the same period last year. So what we see there is less than a fifth that are actually being held in custody. And when we look at the actual attacks, I mean, it's even less than that. It's less than 5%, I think. I think Laura Towler worked it out Europe-wide, and far-right extremism was responsible for about 1% of all terrorist attacks. The numbers came a day after senior military and intelligence expert Colonel Richard Kemp told the Mail Online he believed the focus on far-right terror was a false emphasis. I think it's worse than that, than a false emphasis. It means that all the resources are being directed in the wrong direction. And because they're being directed in the wrong direction, we end up with people on the streets like this Libyan terrorist over the weekend who went out stabbing people. I mean, he was on the Prevent list, which shows us that this Prevent organization isn't working, because a lot of the jihadis that have turned out to be active terrorists have actually been known to the authorities. So there's obviously something isn't working right there. And if they're going to be diverting half their resources or more towards the far right, when it only makes up a tiny fraction of the threat, then that's possibly a reason why we've had this increase in these jihadi terrorists, because instead of the resources being focused on them, they're being focused on white lads who are saying silly things in chat rooms. And it's very rare that they actually find somebody with weapons and a plan to actually attack anyone. Whereas with these jihadis, it's all about beheadings and stabbings and attacking people like this. I think all they found, I mean, in this article, they focus on a young lad who apparently had a list of places he was going to attack. He was 17, obviously a fantasist. You know, it's dangerous. He says that he didn't intend to attack these places, but it's rather a silly thing to have, isn't it? Is a list of places that you are going to attack. But that's all they can come up with. Whereas when we think of jihadi terrorists, we think of all those stabbings in the pub in London. We think of that jihadi prisoner who was the model prisoner for being a reformed jihadi that went on a stabathon. People in cars that have been running people over. This attack now. I mean, there's so many of them that you can't actually recall them all. And when we hear about far-right terror, most of the time we hear about ex-members of National Action who've been accused of still being members of National Action because they've been talking to one another in chat rooms, but there's never been any plans for any attacks. And the one time they did link a plan for an attack with, I forget his name now, the one that was going to attack the MP, that was discovered that wasn't a National Action plot. So when they tell you that was to do with National Action and that was terrorism, the court actually found that it wasn't to do with National Action. It was a plan that he just had on his own. So you have to watch out for these exaggerations that the press put in there. Richard Walton, former head of the Metropolitan Police Counterterrorism Command, told The Telegraph the watch list number was too big. He said it is a ridiculously high number. But the bigger question is, why are there 40,000 people who think it is acceptable to consider murdering people? It tells you the scale of the problem. And 9/10 of the people on that list are Islamic extremists. Now, that's the former head of the Metropolitan Police Counterterrorism Command. Why don't they give the top job to him? Because at least he's telling us the truth. At least he's pointing out where the problem is, whereas Neil Basu is trying to deflect it and say that it's the far right that are the biggest growing threat. And Neil Basu as well, he upset the rank and file police recently with his support for Black Lives Matter and talking about institutional racism in the force when he's black and he's right at the top there. He's right at the top of the counterterrorism command, which tends to show you that, you know, there can't be that much structural racism if somebody black can get to the top like that. And what you would hope is that he would then, once he'd got to the top, would want to be the very best counterterrorism command officer that there has ever been and prevent terrorism and actually make a difference. But instead, what we see him doing is we see him being politically influenced and saying that the threat comes from the far right. So I would suggest just from that, he's really not doing his job as well as he should be. Perhaps we might see him replaced with somebody else at some point. If people do start taking notice of this, which I think they are, because it's now being discussed, as I say, in the mainstream media. But it's not just in Britain that the police are wasting their time looking at so-called far-right figures while the country is burning down around them, being carried out by the left and the non-whites. After a short investigation into reports of a noose found in the garage of NASCAR's lone black full-time driver, the FBI has determined that what was at first believed to be a noose was actually a pull rope. Now, I was talking about this the other day, but I wasn't actually talking about it on the podcast. And as soon as I heard this, that this black driver had found a noose in his garage, I said, I bet that was a tow rope for a car, because they do look similar to a noose, I guess, to an untrained eye. And just recently, we were told that there were nooses hanging outside a library, and they turned out to be exercise ropes that somebody had put up there. They were using them to pull themselves up with. And I just thought instantly when I heard about this one, that that's just going to be a rope in a garage. That's going to be a tow rope or something similar. And what it's actually turned out to be was just the pull rope in a garage. I mean, all garages have a door with a pull rope on them. To think that this guy is a driver, a famous driver, and yet he doesn't know how a garage door works? I mean, that's just unbelievable. Agents determined that the rope had been in place there since at least last October. So, no, it wasn't just put there to terrify the poor, innocent black driver. It was it's been there since October, because he was insinuating that this had been put there to intimidate him and to scare him In actual fact, it's a total hoax. The Associated Press reports United States Attorney Jay Towne and FBI Special Agent in Charge, Johnny Sharp Jr., said its investigation determined, although the noose is now known to have been in garage number 4 in 2019, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned to garage number 4 last week. A crew member for Richard Petty Motorsports discovered the noose Sunday at the Alabama racetrack. NASCAR was alerted and contacted the FBI, which sent 15 agents to the track to investigate. They determined no federal crime was committed. 15 FBI agents were sent to check out this bit of rope that had been left in a garage. And this black driver, all his teammates, pushed his car out onto the track over the weekend. They were all pushing his car to show how much support they had for him. And this black driver has also, he's the only black driver in NASCAR, he's also now had the Confederate flag banned from NASCAR events, the flag of the South, something that blacks and whites down there like to use. And he's not showing that he's an oppressed minority here, is he? What he is doing is showing that he's actually probably the most important person in NASCAR if he can get flags removed and if he's got everybody pushing his car out there onto the track. And he really can't be used to doing that much for himself if he doesn't know how a garage door works with the rope that hangs down that you pull down to close the door behind you. The agency said the evidence did not support federal charges. Why the agents continue to refer to the rope as a noose after determining there is no hate crime and no way anyone could have known Wallace would use that stall is unknown. NASCAR said in a statement that the FBI report concludes and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope, fashioned like a noose, had been positioned there since as early as last fall, the AP reports. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. And of course, as I said, Wallace made headlines recently by asking NASCAR to remove the Confederate flag from league events. And he has also driven his number 43 car with a Black Lives Matter paint scheme. So it's okay for him to introduce politics into NASCAR racing, but it's not okay for the supporters of NASCAR racing to do the same. And this report, as I say, it comes from Associated Press, and just a little tidbit of interesting information to finish here with today. The Associated Press have announced that they will now be capitalizing the word black because it's the name of a race, obviously. And this is something that I think actually the first person to do this was Andrew Angling, to capitalize the word B for black and capitalize the word W for white, the same as you would capitalize somebody's nationality. And I think it also helps because you can get accused of hate speech if you use the word black before something. Sometimes they can say, if you're using a negative word and you use the word black before using it, then you're being racist. But of course, if you capitalize the word, then you're using it as an identifier. You're using it as the correct name. You're not using it in any derogatory sense whatsoever. You're just using it in the correct way. So interesting to see that AP are taking a leaf out of Andrew Anglin's book anyway. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.